11 o'clock hour of Willie and Tausch from windy Green Bay. It is very windy today. Almost Tausch chilly. Good sweatshirt day. Spring weather in Wisconsin. Packers continuing to go through their final minicamp practice. I asked Matt LaFleur yesterday about offensive line evaluation, or somebody did. Maybe it wasn't me. But, you know, the Jeff Saturday memory is, I think that's when I brought it up to him yesterday. The idea of getting much out of this and understanding exactly what they're accomplishing, I don't know. So I asked Matt LaFleur, and then I'll ask Tausch. Here's Matt LaFleur talking about offensive line evaluation, given the limitations of the offseason program.
Well, it's harder too, right? It's more or less just making sure that they're using the right techniques and knowing what to do more so than anything else. But I still think you can work your technique even in a slower paced period, in a jog through. And then obviously when we got to those full speed periods, those 2 minute drills, you know, it's going to be predominantly pass. I would say 95%+, if not higher. So, there's a lot of value too going through all the drills. You're always watching the drills, evaluating them, but ultimately you got to see when the pads come on.
So Tausch, you were a practice guy. You appreciated and emphasized the importance. You needed it. You were not looking to go on the big Lamborghini plan and not practice. You felt you needed it to be effective, right? That's a fair characterization.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fair characterization.
So what we're doing here, you know, let's turn back the clock. So I try to get out of the wind. Let's turn back the clock and put you on this team. You're competing with Zach Tom for the starting right tackle job. You're in your prime. Your knee feels great. You're in the best shape of your career. How are you utilizing this time, and how beneficial or comparatively not beneficial is it compared to what you were doing back in 2001, 2002, throughout your previous tour of duty with this team?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be doing anything different. You go out and practice, you do the drills, you go about your business. It doesn't matter if you're playing in the 70s or if you're playing now.
But you were able to do different things in the off season than you are now, right? Like there was,
I'm telling
whether
you.
they weren't in pads, but there was more. There was more to that work than there is now. Is there not?
As I was saying, you're going to go about your business, and you're going to get stronger. You're going to get faster. You're going to work. And when they say come out on the field and do your work, you're going to go do it. And you can go and do drills on your own. I don't think, you know, for some guys, it's about having all of this structure. And, you know, for most players, you didn't want to be back up in Green Bay March 8th and start an 8-week process. Some guys do. I think young players want to be up there because they want to make sure they're doing everything that they can to make a football team. They're not you can still go up there and work out and do your thing, but it's not going to be in a structured format. There is pluses and minuses to that, but it's not about, you know, what would you want to do individually? You're going to go about your business, and now more guys have personal trainers. They got guys that they work out with in Florida and California. And when you come up here, you're going to go about the process, and you're going to practice when they have you practicing, and you're going to do it. There's too much stuff at stake. Back in the old days, I mean, I didn't have to take a second job on like a lot of guys in the 60s and 70s did, but this was your job, and you came up there and you did your work, and then you went about your business with whatever else that meant. So football, while it continues to evolve and change, the process of how you get ready for that has evolved, but it's still going to be individualized, and guys figure what they need to do, and they're going to go about that, doing it, trying to be the best player that they can.
So what if you're Jacob Monk? You're obviously, like you said, you're using this time to the best of your ability and make the most of it. it's still like I asked Matt LaFleur specifically about him, and LaFleur again was kind of, you can't really judge much, and he's doing a great job, and he's putting forth the effort and everything. Like, it's all the platitudes that you have to say. But your point is that while you use this time to the best of your ability, it doesn't really matter if you come out here then when you're in your pads and you don't get the job done under those circumstances, because those are the closest approximation of game football that we have, our padded practices. Yes? No? Am I misunderstanding?
Yeah. No, obviously, I always say you can't, you get in all this shape and you run and you do all this stuff, but you can't get in football shape without playing football. You can run, and we'd have to do our conditioning test before we'd be allowed to practice. And if you pass that, it didn't matter how much running you did, your legs are going to be tired. And then, hey, go have two padded practices that next day. And luckily, if it's hot and you're in pads, it just, you felt like you were in really good shape. And then midway through the practice, your legs feel like rubber. You have to go through because you're not straining to finish. You're not, it's just different. You're using different muscles when you're playing football than when you're just running and training and conditioning. And the only way to actually prep and get ready for that is by playing football. And I think that's why you've seen more sloppy play to start seasons. And it's gotten better, but guys aren't tackling. Guys aren't getting people to the ground. And you're asking guys that don't play a ton in the preseason to all of a sudden go play 70 snaps the weekend after Labor Day. And it's hard. And you can only train so much because you're trying to keep guys healthy. It's a real tricky balancing point that these coaches have to figure out.
Well, they continue to do that here. Again, they're going through their half-speed drill work. Tausch, I feel like I'm not sure how good of a feel I have for anything either. And maybe Matt LaFleur's constant, I don't want to call it complaining. We certainly did our fair share of that earlier in the show. But you can tell that there's a frustration that he's not able to accomplish as much as he would like because of the constraints that are upon this. But here's an example. I saw Quay Walker yesterday. Remember, we're not going in the locker room, but those guys are also in a different locker room. So they're up in a locker room by our offices. So we're not able to use our offices. We don't interview them in the locker room. They have to come down an elevator, and then they have to walk kind of the back end of the stadium concourse to get to meetings and everything else, okay? Quay Walker goes by, and he's on a scooter with a boot on his foot. You know, those scooters that, did you have one when you had your ACL surgery? So he goes by on
we
that.
We didn't have no scooters back then. It was old school crutches, baby.
Crutching it, yeah. So, I don't know if he has not taken part in anything that we've been able to watch to this point. And he was riding a bike at the first OTA that I saw him at. So I don't know if something subsequently happened, and Matt LaFleur loves injury questions. But there's a guy that, they want to see take a big jump. I don't know if he's in position to do that or not, and I certainly haven't seen anything because he isn't doing anything right now to have an idea about that. But I keep having this conversation on our various shows because everyone keeps asking me about where the team is at and how they look. And I just keep going back to the fact that there's just a bunch of guys, not to use the same phrases I used for Jordan Love, but in pivotal years where we're going to find out, are they the guy that flashed how good they can be? The Dontavian Wickses, Quay Walkers, the Luke Musgraves, or are they going to be that guy more consistently? Or are we still going to continue to see flashes of really good play and then some just sort of meh play? Is that a fair characterization, like from 30,000 feet of where this team is at, do you think? Or do you think I'm, again, being unfairly harsh?
I don't think you're being unfairly harsh. I just think that's the reality of this job. Unless you're a five-time Pro Bowler, all pro, and in the meat of your career, every year is a prove it year. You know, unless you've gotten a big boy fat second contract, every year is a let's see it again. And then we just, you know, the reason they pay you is because we see it and we know you're going to give it to us for another 4 or 5 years. Outside of that, everything is a, what are you going to do for me now? That's just how this business is. It's hard. You know, there aren't any, you know, there's no giveaways here. It's you as a player better keep improving. And the old coach's adage of nobody stays the same. You either get better or you get worse. If you're not getting better, you're going to be done. If you're not playing at a consistent level where coaches know this is what I'm going to get from this guy, and it's either good enough and we like it or we're going to improve on it, that's how rosters are built. And for when you go young like Green Bay does and it feels like they're going to continue, there's just more fluidity in what you're asking your guys to do and what they're giving you, because growth isn't linear. Some guys take 4 or 5 years to really hit their, you know, hit their peak. When is the point where you say this is what we're going to get? Is Quay Walker at that point? Quay Walker's gotten better, no question. But mm-hmm. is he going to be markedly better than what he's been the last year or two? That's a call for Goody to make, and they'll find it and they'll make it. If they believe he can be better and more consistent, they'll pay him. If not, they won't. And the same will go for Dontavion Wicks and Jaden Reed and everybody else. Tucker Kraft, I feel fairly confident, is going to get a second contract. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty confident that Jaden Reed will get a second contract. I don't feel very, very confident because he is also going to be in a pivotal year. For whatever reason, I don't feel that way about Tucker. I think they know what they got. I don't know how many other players they feel like they know what they got. I thought it would have been Zach Tom, and then I hear that, but I would bet that Zach Tom will be one of those guys. Mm-hmm. It's going to get harder and harder to become one of those guys because you have to do it early, and you have to show great growth and a continuum that you're going to continue to grow. And if you're in that camp, you'll get paid. And if you aren't, mm-hmm. you're going to get moved on from.
More from Packers minicamp as it rolls on here at Ray Nitschke Field. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Rolling on with the last practice of Packers minicamp. Doing some individual drill work and all kinds of exciting stuff.
No offense here, but it seems as if you're bored at this camp.
I am.
There's nothing going on? Or what are we doing?
I am. Yeah, it's boring.
What's going on out there?
It's boring. What the hell's going on out here? Yeah, there's not a lot of juice. Now, okay. You know, you
well,
being
it's
the
getaway day.
Yeah, you being the pro that you are as a player, I would be curious, though, did you go through these periods where you kind of were feeling less than fully engaged and you have to fight through it because you're a pro?
No.
Because I wonder if players ever feel that.
That is being a pro. I think everybody has days where they're like that, where it's a grind. That's when you get better, is when you're through the grind. All right, so, Jason, who has – been some. Give me a couple of guys on both sides of the ball. You've been out there now 3 days. You're seeing things. Guys that nobody has talked about that have popped. I think McCole Hardman was somebody we kind of just, when he signed, and we're done. But whatever. Who are the guys that you're kind of looking at saying, oh, I can't wait to see more of him? Because if you're seeing that, I'm sure the coaches are seeing that.
Yeah, not really anybody.
All right, great. But can't again, get that insight is... anywhere else, boys and girls. That's the insight we're looking for.
Nobody has stood out one way or the other. Live from
Hey, yeah, how's that left Green guard Bay. Doing? Oh shoot, I didn't even know he was out. I didn't even know he was on our team. Still.
Exactly. That's Matt LaFleur. So maybe I'm onto something. Like again, the parameters make it difficult to stand out. Like, yeah, you know, Tucker Kraft catches a ball down the field. Awesome. Great moment. It was at half speed. Like, it's not real football. And so the only real football periods we get each day, and the players too, it's not, you know, just us as observers, is the two-minute drill. And that's why Mecole Hardman, you know, I mean, the catch that he made on the prayer that Sean Clifford threw up was magnificent. And then obviously Love making the ridiculously majestic throw down the field for the 75-yard touchdown yesterday. Yeah, that stuff stands out, no doubt. I would say that, you know, to answer your question honestly, I saw a few catches during two-minute periods with the twos and the threes that Malik Willis had good moments, right? And again, if we're being honest, with Bo Melton and his cornerback additional responsibilities and his special teams role, and two draft picks used on wide receivers, and four incumbent wide receivers, one who may be coming back from an ACL faster than some of us thought he would, in Christian Watson, and Romeo Doubs, and Dontavian Wicks, and Jaden Reed. You know, Malik Heath needs to have as many of those moments as he can to help his chances to be on this roster. Because I can tell you this, they're not going to take all six of the guys from last year and both of the draft picks and Mecole Hardman and go into the season with nine wide receivers on the roster. And if they start the season with Christian Watson on PUP, or if they unpup him during training camp so he can do some things, and then they IR him after the first day or whatever, so he's on IR for four games and then he can come off, and maybe that's the timeline because he's been such a quick healer. That's still, they're not going to keep eight wide receivers while he's briefly on some sort of list. So, you know, there is hefty competition here, Horn, at that position. So when you make a catch or two like Malik Heath has, that is valuable. I'm not saying it's not, but it goes back to the point you were making earlier, is that when we get, you know, there's going to be two joint practices, right? They're going to do one in Indy with the Colts, and then they're going to do one here with the Seahawks when they're coming for that preseason game. That stuff is going to be critical. You know, beyond those types of things, it just, the setup, like, I know you give us grief about, you know, the guys that keep track of how guys fare in the one-on-one pass protection, pass rush deals, right? I get it. And you're right. I mean, It is kind of a silly exercise that doesn't guarantee that anybody's really good. I get it. At the same time, you know, that stuff does have some value because at least, hey, if I'm watching you put Vonnie Holiday on his back, that gets my attention. We don't have even any of that here. And it appears that we might be doing some sort of obstacle course now. All the guys have taken off their helmets. They appear to have assembled into teams, and it looks like we're going to have some sort of obstacle course race, team race, relay, if you will.
Yeah, play-by-play.
So what do they have? Instead of the two-minute drill. Like a jungle gym and a slide, or what are they?
No, so they've got...
Flip and slides are dangerous, we know
one,
that.
We do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sure. 6, 7 teams. It is definitely a relay, and there are pads that you have to jump over. Then there's a tackling dummy. Matt LaFleur is giving instructions right now. There's some reaction. We can't hear what he's saying, so I don't know exactly what he's doing to get people riled up. But now everyone's leaving. So they all lined up, and now I don't know if they haven't picked teams yet or what, but apparently they're all re-huddling to decide how they're going to go about this. But they've got pads that looks like you got to hurdle over. Then you've got a tackling dummy inside one of those circles that they lay on the ground that you got to go around for pass rush. Then they've got another pad. So this will be interesting. Underscoring the point that this isn't the most productive version of football, the fact that they're now ending their practice, it appears, with this activity at 11:30. We'll see exactly how this goes. We're kicking some field goals as well. And there's clothes being thrown in the air in celebration. I think we're done, boys. I think the off-season program might be coming to an end. Maybe they're not even going to do the relay thing.
Are they doing an obstacle course or not?
Yeah, what the
heck?
I don't know. I can't tell you the answer to that. Let's get in position for Whoa Nelly. Let's see if they do the obstacle course. Right now, no one is lined up at the starting blocks.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Normally, I love having you down on the sideline. You got horns blowing. Yeah. I don't even know what I'm getting here. Then I was thinking the players are doing it.
Neither do I. That's the problem.
That's my
you
point.
Are the
it's
worst
like, what are we even
today.
Doing?
Who
the is?
Worst. You.
Me?
There's no making you happy today.
Yeah, you could have said, boy, I don't know, man. Baron Sorrell looks really good. He's, you know,
I can't say that
I
if it's
get
not
it.
True.
They're not. I understand. I get it. They're not doing anything. Well, Mitch makes me question. But now we're doing an obstacle course. I'm like, well, are we doing it? Are we not doing it? And you, I don't know. We might be doing it. I'd like to see the beat guys get in the mix on this, too.
Yeah, I don't think Goody and LaFleur have any interest in us doing the obstacle course. And
I'm going to tell you this.
It appears we're disassembling the obstacle course now.
No.
Yes. The equipment guys are picking up the hoops, the giant hula hoops that have been placed down.
They set up an obstacle course for nothing?
Just from Packers PR, practice is over. So there you have it. We're donezo.
Okay. What a deal. Sounds like a productive day.
Yeah, and it's all my fault, clearly. I thought that the obstacle course was going to be a fun way to end the session.
Yeah, it would have been.
For sure it would have
been. Fun.
Is there like
and then they
weather?
Kicked the field goal, and now they're... No, it's beautiful outside. It's like 68 degrees, a little breezy. Matt LaFleur is clearly addressing the team now with some final words of don't do something stupid while you're gone for these 5 weeks. Right? You heard that speech plenty of times over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Old T.
Yep.
Now we're clapping for somebody.
Somebody's birthday, probably.
Maybe.
Now, this is some riveting stuff. Jason, I don't want you to misconstrue that I'm irritated with you. I'm just saying I'm not sure what we're gaining by this. That's all I'm saying. I'm not
so
mad.
Apparently, if I can assume they had Brandon McManus attempt a 58-yard field goal. This is a special teams obstacle course that all the guys do. They call it the cat period, and they're clapping for Mark Murphy. So that's who's in the middle of the huddle. I can't see him either. He's surrounded by giant men. But if he made the field goal, practice was over. He made the field goal. A lot of pressure on Brandon McManus. He delivers. And the offseason program is ending now with a presentation in the huddle to Mark Murphy. Cheers for him. And then don't leave town and do something galactically stupid to make the organization look bad or get yourself in trouble. I believe that is what's occurring. But practice is officially over, and so is the offseason program. Matt LaFleur is going to talk after practice. We will do Whoa Nelly next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Little
practice is in the books. The off-season program is over.
It looks like we might have lost Jason's connection. He did say it was getting windy out there. It looks like we might have lost his connection here for a second. We'll reestablish our connection with Jason. I know what he was getting at, Tausch, and that's that it's time for Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Jason's back.
I am back. So I was walking to the car. And what's your name?
Brian.
Brian's going to be at Hard Rock Casino next week for the show. Go to my car to get my laptop.
Good.
He's standing here.
Love it.
Not Brian.
Goody's
not Brian Goody.
Hard Rock.
It's not Goody.
Wow.
No, different Brian.
I've been trying to get Goody on. That'll be great. Is he sit down for the full 3 or just an hour?
I'll have to check with him, but I can speak for this other Brian who was standing by my car that he'll be there for sure. He kind of very smoothly, not wanting to interrupt the show, saying, I'll be at the casino next week. And I was like, well, I'm not going to be at a casino. And then I was like, no, wait, I am. Hard Rock Casino, Rockford.
Ain't gonna lie to you. We could have used Brian with that last in that last segment with some of those insights.
What did Brian think of practice today?
What did Brian think? Did he think there's anybody any good, or is it all? Well, what a waste of time! Put Brian on. Let's hear his insights on what's going on.
Brian's one of the lucky ones. He couldn't go to practice. He's a fan. They're not allowed to go as fans.
Well, it sounds like they didn't miss anything.
Maybe that's
why they're not. Maybe that's why they're not having fans, because it's so boring. They don't want to bore people out of submission. Okay.
They've been doing us a favor this whole time.
Yeah. I'm going to apologize to Murph. Don't worry about it. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Time now for Whoa Nelly.
Yeah, so Giannis tweeted yesterday a couple of different things. So ESPN NBA insider Shams Charania shared on First Take. I think he went on the McAfee show, and he was speculating about what Giannis might be doing here this offseason. Giannis tweeted, and I want to make sure I quote this verbatim, so I'm going to pull it up here on Twitter. Does anyone else miss Woj?
Oh, wow. That's very feisty.
So this comes off the heels of this Euro Hoop tweet from the other day, which said that Giannis said in some interview somewhere that no one seems to be able to find any audio of that makes it suspicious, that he looks forward to competing for another chance to win the finals with the Bucks. National narrative seems to be shifting a bit based on all these clues of conversation that Giannis seems like he is content staying in Milwaukee. Or you can read into this that Giannis is putting some pressure on the Bucks to decide what they want to do and how they want to proceed, because he's being more active on social media now as teams are eliminated from the finals except for 2, and the offseason starting to heat up with some conversation of head coaches and whatnot. How do you interpret what's going on with Giannis this week, old T?
Does anyone miss Woj? That's amazing.
I think he's sick of the narrative being put out there that's not the real narrative. So I think as a Bucks fan, you could feel, I think I feel a lot better. There was the uncertainty in all of these other reports. We kind of felt like Shams's report before the draft was a little clicky to me. We didn't know. He didn't really hear anything. He didn't know anything. And, hey, this might happen. Oh, Cooper Flagg for Yada. You know, trying to get the ball rolling, which I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. And I think Giannis is basically just trying to say, you know, chill. Let's get Woj back where it's more in Giannis's eyes, maybe a little bit more factual than what he believes Shams is doing. But I think as a Bucks fan, I think it's great news. If Giannis is doing that, he's having some fun with it. And the reports are that, you know, any reports that you do hear, and the whether or not there was audio of it or if it's just quoted, he wants to stay in Milwaukee. That is the best case scenario for all of us that want to see the Bucks continue to be a relevant operation with one of the world's biggest superstars.
Wasn't there also a picture of him shown, or was this old? I never know what's going on social media these days, where he was standing in front of like the Rio de Janeiro Jesus or something, and he's holding his Bucks jersey. Is that not fresh? Is that old? Somebody sent that to me yesterday. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I saw it. I glanced past it. I'm not sure if that was new or not. I'll double check.
This is super fun. I hope he says, you know what? I'm a loyal guy. I want to keep playing for this team. I believe we can win another title. We've already won one. I believe we can win another one, and I want to be part of that. I hope that ends up being the case.
Whoa, Nelly!
Meanwhile, in the actual NBA Finals going on right now, the Indiana Pacers, doggone it, they did it again last night, came back, defeated the Thunder, and they hold a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals, 2 wins away from bringing home a title for the Pacers organization. Tausch, are you pulling for the Pacers at this point?
No. Nope. Not really.
Jason?
No, I'm not either, and I'm actually troubled by how annoyed I am by them winning Game 3. I don't normally care about this sort of stuff, but I just don't like them. I just don't like them. And now they're 2 wins away from an NBA title.
Maybe because you're a fan of the Bucks. Maybe you're kind of showing your cards here that you like the Bucks and you want to be a Bucks fan, and you don't like the team that has kind of blanked on us the last couple of postseasons, and you're admitting openly that you're pulling for a team that plays here in the state of Wisconsin. Maybe.
But they're not even playing.
Your
horn
visceral
on their
reaction to that, Jason, means you have feelings about it. If you
Maybe I just don't like teams that come off as very douchey. And that's how they feel to me.
Maybe, but can you at least account for the fact that you might be a closeted Bucks fan, and that's why this bothers you?
Closeted? No. Ooh, wind picking up here at Lambeau Field.
I thought you were in your car. Aren't you? No. Got your windows up. You just said you were going to your car.
Yeah, I grabbed my laptop.
Roll your
when
windows
I talk to
up,
Brian. You know. Okay. Whoa, Nelly. I'm gonna let you guys close up shop. I'm gonna go to Matt LaFleur's press conference. Take care. Be good.
Oh
pouty. Pouty, Jason.
Is he just in a hurry? Are you still there?
I am. I'm standing. I can't go through security until we're done with Whoa, Nelly, and I can't go to Matt LaFleur unless I'm not on the air
you
anymore.
And Jason, you go to Matt LaFleur. Get out of that wind. I'm not sure. Is it one of those car parks that he's doing?
I'm not in the car. I got my computer out of the car. Then I walked
to the
entrance.
Did you not hear him? Did you not say you were going to get in your car?
Am I crazy? I was going to my car. I went to my car to get my laptop. I didn't say I was driving home. I said I was going to my car.
I think we learned we only need 2 days of minicamp practices.
Oh, my Lord.
This third day sucks. Yeah. Man, what a waste.
Go bowling next year.
Emmanuel Wilson is apparently speaking right now. I'm going to go talk to Emmanuel Wilson instead of you two knuckleheads.
Thank God.
Have fun.
Goodbye.
Maybe it would have been nice if he showed something at training. Oh, Emmanuel Wilson. Man, he's got some good burst. Nah. Nothing.
I think Jason is officially gone. So, bye.
Jason's been gone for about an hour. But that's
That's it for Whoa, Nelly. Tausch and I'll wrap up the show with some riveting conversation on Jason's takeaways from mandatory minicamp practice number 3 today in Green Bay. That's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Caleb Durbin comes out of nowhere and makes a leaping catch and bangs into the tarp. Durbin made a tremendous catch.
Tonight on 100.5 ESPN.
With tears in my eyes, love in my soul.
Dr. Denver Dan on the one of the YouTube dwellers, very popular in the YouTube comments on the ESPN Madison video stream. Today was a Krabby Cakes day. Says Dr. Denver Dan. Tausch, do you feel like it was a Krabby Cakes day of Willie and Tausch?
Yeah, I do. I think we're, you know, at that point, just like the players up there, ready to get moving. I think I came in, you know, at home, we've had just a lot of moving parts. It's a new kind of a transition from school to the summer and that schedule. So I probably came in crabbier than I needed to be. But then I also think the mini camp, being at mini camp that there's nothing going on at and no real insights probably compounded that a little bit. So yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. I can't sit here and tell you that it wasn't a little crappy today. Yeah, that's very fair.
So, okay, I think we all agree we learned absolutely nothing about the 2025 Green Bay Packers at today's mandatory minicamp practice.
Well, I'm going to pull back on that a little bit because I agree. I do agree with when Jason was on the field there and he's talking about doing an obstacle course and then not doing an obstacle course. And was there any players that showed up? And he said, no. It was kind of a, okay, what the heck are we doing here? But then Rob Domofsky, our teammate.
The bold one.
Sent out what I thought was a pretty good, interesting tweet. McManus makes this field goal. And whether or not if he missed the field goal, they'd have to do the obstacle, I don't know. We weren't there. But the part that was interesting to me, you don't hear players and coaches give you a lot of stuff, especially on June 12th. But when they were called up to head out of town for 5-6 weeks before training camp starts, what do you think they called it up on? It usually can be go pack or offense on three or team or what do you think Rob Domofsky reported that they called this Green Bay Packers team up on?
So this is like 1-2-3 in the hunt and then you yell something.
Yes. Correct.
I don't know. What was it?
Super. I think I can say this, right? We're not in that window?
Yes, correct.
Super Bowl.
All right.
So the fact that you're not, and I think everybody understands that that's the goal for 32 teams when they report in July. Realistically, there's probably 15 or 16 teams that can actually accomplish that. And almost all of them would say, well, we're not going to even – Mike McCarthy would always say, don't even talk to me about that until we get 10 wins. You heard it. You heard it right down there. That is the message when these guys – to stay out of trouble, to sacrifice, to make sure they're working. Everybody's last words that were out of that as a unit were Super Bowl. I love it. I want you to embrace it. I would prefer you say – let's be Kings of the North first because that will help us get to the Super Bowl. But that is the end goal, and it's a team that is not afraid to let you know that's what they're thinking on June 12th of 2025.
For a day that was pretty lackluster, that feels like a great place to call it up for the mandatory minicamp practices officially in the books. Jason catching up with head coach Matt LaFleur right now. I'm sure we'll hear plenty of what the head coach had to say after practice today, tomorrow, as we wrap up our week here on Wilde and Tausch. Thanks to Jason for sharing his insights and observations as the Packers wrapped up mandatory minicamp practice today with an obstacle course they didn't do and a bunch of other nothingness. Great stuff throughout the course of the week, though, otherwise. We appreciate Jason being there. Hopefully, we're not as crabby cakes tomorrow. We'll do it again. Have a great day. As Jason always says, take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.